Hey there, this is your old buddy Tom, the Toonami Operations Module. Settle in, it's about to get good. Toonami's back, bitches.
Took you long enough.
This has been an experience we will never forget.
This ain't no time to go all mushy.
Don't lecture me. I've waited long enough.
Whenever you're ready.
Welcome to the televised revolution, as we drift through outer space aboard the Absolution. With Tom back in active duty as captain, in charge of bringing superior anime action. Yeah, you came to the right place if you have a taste for animation in deep space base. Broadcast through your television due to the progress of the Bring Back Toonami Twitter mission. The same block that brought us Sailor Moon and Dragon Ball Z is back, so stay tuned. I remember way back, never leaving my room. I stay glued to my TV weekday afternoons. Yeah, and thanks to Adult Swim, I have a reason to use the TV in my room again. Cause every night I'll be tuning in since they going back to showing Action Tunes again. Toonami's back, bitches. Wait, did you say Toonami's back, bitches? That's the official hashtag if you missed it, to celebrate Tom's return to television. Yeah, Toonami's back, bitches. Wait, did you say Toonami's back, bitches? That's the official hashtag if you missed it, to celebrate Tom's return to television. Welcome to the Anime Action Fan Sanctuary, with Tom providing that slick commentary. The other king.
Hey there, my Toonami generation, and welcome to a brand new episode of Tom's Prerogative, or the more aptly put, a special edition of Tom's Prerogative. Right here on the Absolution Network. There's no episode number, no nothing, because, you know, as I kind of alluded to right there, this is a very special episode. Or more of an extension of an episode. Yesterday, I released episode 59, where I reviewed Final Fantasy VII Advent Children. Though that wasn't the full cut of the recording. Obviously, I make cuts here or there on my recordings. Generally, I take out long pieces of silence. Though I try to remain, or at least have the recordings remained largely uncut, you know, to get the full effect of who I am and my insanity, because, again, it's evidence for when they need, or for the, law officials and that stuff, when they finally get around to locking me up. But that being here or there, initially, and I kind of posted about this on Facebook, I had a sort of opinion piece that was originally in the episode. That kind of went long, about 25 minutes long to be exact, and as I finally got to, I didn't know whether I was going to keep it or not, but as I finally got around to editing, I figured, as much as I really liked the opinion piece and thought it went well, I think it made the episode far too long, but it was something I did want to talk about. So here is an extension of episode 59 to an extent. With my opinion piece on what was basically the whole controversy going on about the princess from Brave. As I state in the opinion piece, we'll get to in a second, I don't know her name. I've not really gone seeing the movie. I have no plans on seeing the movie in the near time, though I may review it next year for Disney Month, just to get it out of the way. And I kind of go over the reasons why I haven't seen it in the opinion piece, so I'll leave it there. I'd like to state that at no point is this for me to sit there and say that, you know, my opinion is above anybody else, or that I'm right. You know, I fully admit that, again, I'm coming from my point of view, and again, it's my opinion. You know, there may be somebody who puts it in a way that hasn't been said yet, that I can fully understand and fully embrace. I accept that that could happen. But that being said, the following statements that are going to be made in the next 25 minutes by me are my opinion alone, not the opinions of 132 Productions or anybody associated with 132 Productions. They are my opinions, and they're not made out of anger or out of any attempt to control anybody, but my opinion as an animation fan, as somebody who loves Disney, and as, you know, just somebody who wanted to get his opinion out there about this subject. Again, no point is this really too meant to offend anybody. Just state my opinion on the controversy. though, as we sort of joke about in the opinion piece, I don't even need to start it with people hating me on the opinion before I even start, but that's here nor there. So, with that, let's call the Super Friends to get that star effect going, and here's the opinion piece. And with that being said, before we get into the review proper, and of course the synopsis, because this is where I would sort of transition to doing that, I kind of have a sort of opinion piece I want to do before that. You know, since we're talking about a major franchise in Final Fantasy and a major company franchise in Square Enix, formerly known as Squaresoft, there's a story that just won't go away. I keep popping up on my friends' Facebook pages. And I kind of want to talk about it because it features another major corporation that's dear to my heart, Disney. Actually, this whole situation is something, for those who know, I do multiple podcasts. And if you heard the latest episode of Comic Book Crazy, you know I wanted to do an opinion piece on realism and role models in comic book sense, in pop culture sense in general. And of course, I've moved that to be its own thing later this month. But one of the things that sort of influenced me wanting to do that was, for those who know, there's a sort of, I won't call it a scandal, but there's a petition and outrage going on right now because they've inducted the Princess from Brave. And I'll be completely honest, I have no idea what her name is because I've not seen the movie, actually. I was really excited for the movie, but as it got closer and closer and I sort of saw sort of the trailers before it, where they showed the sons and everything, and then the whole, you know, hearing from other people, basically the synopsis, which from what it sounds like, is basically another take on the concept that Brother Bear is. I was really disinterested in it, and I've really never gone and seen it. And maybe next year, in the coming year, I'll get to see it, or if it comes down to it, maybe next year during Disney Month, I'll watch it and review it. But I've really not seen it, and I'll be quite honest, I don't think I have any interest right now to go see it. I go out there and have to go see it. But there's controversy because, you know, they've inducted her as, you know, I guess she's the 11th Disney princess. And she, well, they've sort of done a redesign. They have a more cartoonish design for her. Well, that's unfair to say in having an opinion of this, but they did a redesign of her, for the merchandising. And like I said, it's more, I want to say more cartoony, because where the image they keep showing is they keep comparing this image, which is a hand-drawn, more cartoon aspect image, to the CG model from the movie. You can already tell where this is going, can't you? So the outrage is that, you know, Disney is sexifying her and beautifying her, and they're sending a horrible message to kids, and people are outraged and are signing a petition on change.org and all this stuff, and there's all this outrage about her change. I'm going to say this right now. I'm going to be speaking a lot in generalizations. I know my opinions that I'm going to be talking about, it is a generalization. But, you know, when you're talking about an opinion in general, you do talk about generalizations. I know there are people that probably have different reasons why they don't like it. In fact, I know one of them. Yeah, I know she. I've had her on one of my other podcasts. I'm not going to mention her by name. Not for any reason. Just in this case, I feel like maybe it'd be disrespectful to mention her name, and I don't want to be disrespectful. And I'm sure if we sat down and had a discussion about it on Facebook or whatever, we'd have a very intellectual conversation, even if we'd probably go away still on different sides of the discussion. That being said, I'm going to be speaking in generalizations about this as far as my opinion is concerned. So I'm just getting that warning right out of the way, and that right there is probably people already telling me I suck. Yep, that is somebody telling me that I suck. And I'm just going to ignore that. I can't get I haven't even started the opinion, and they're already, like, emailing me and texting me that I suck. The world I live in. Anyways, this... Oh, they won't stop texting me. They won't stop texting me. You suck, you suck, you suck. So, I'm just going to ignore that. I'm going to apologize. The text messages you hear are people telling me I suck. Which is amazing, because like I said, I've not even gotten to my opinion yet. My opinion is this is just, it's overblown. This is one of the most, it's not the most ridiculous, most idiotic or whatever, but it's one of the most ridiculous, stupid things, really, and yet I'm not surprised by it, but still, just stupid, it's ridiculous to me, for many reasons. It's so blown out of proportion, and it's wrong. I think wrong on so many levels, and just this is one of those things that just gets under my skin and aggravates me and pisses me off. I just think this is dumb, and people blowing something way out of proportion. Now, the number one reason why I can't agree with the whole outrage and everything is this: first and foremost. When you look at the image, or read all the articles, they have these two images. They have the image that apparently is going to appear on the merchandising. And then they have, you know, again, like I said, the CG model from the movie. And there are some subtle differences, but the first and foremost, here's this. The image that is merchandising is a hand-drawn cartoon-style drawing, as opposed to the CG model from the movie. Because of its nature of what these two styles are, the CG is always going to seem more realistic for many reasons. Therefore, I guess the character will seem more fuller. More importantly, with the the hand-drawn image, again, is more because it's a hand-drawn, more cartoon aspect drawing. The hand-drawn cartoon styles are naturally more exaggerated and more stylistic. There's a natural aspect. It also depends on who's doing the drawing, the artist's style, and that the Disney is going to pick somebody who's going to do way outside their style. But regardless, when it's a hand-drawn image, it's going to be a bit more stylistic, and also a bit more unrealistic, along with being a bit more exaggerated than a CG image, being that it is a hand-drawn sort of flat image, even though it still has that three-dimensional plane, it's still a little bit more flat than what CG is. Again, and this is another reason why I'm bringing this up, because we're going to be covering a CG movie. And because of that, it's just, there's a natural exaggeration there that I think people are just completely ignoring. And again, the whole, the Huffington Post article I was reading before this, before I started recording, mind you, bringing that, oh, she had anti-frizzle hair. And we're going to get into sort of, I guess, a little bit how they beautified her, in a sense, in a minute. But, there's a sort of unnatural frizzleness that she has in the CG image that I was seeing that you couldn't quite completely capture in a hand-drawn style. She still has that sort of hair and everything that goes everywhere, just not sort of frizzled. And there's another reason for that, which I'll get into in a second, but you're just not going to capture that frizzleness. It's just not naturally going to be that. Two, yes, they've obviously sort of beautified her a bit. I'm not going to deny that. But in the sense of, not in the sense to make her sexy or any dubious reason. You know, her hair, you know, she, first and foremost, she's what? She's a princess. She is royalty. Let me ask you a question for all those out there. When you think of royalty, what do you think of? Do you think the mess of a slob at 2B, or do you think of somebody who is elegant, whose hair is nicely, you know, done, who is well-groomed, well-dressed and everything? You know, tell me, who do you think, you know, royalty would more look like? I think most people who are, especially most people with common sense, would agree. It's the person who's well-groomed and everything. So her hair is a little less frizzled, you know. She has maybe a more, you can say, prettier dress. Again, I think it's more the exaggeration why her, I guess, the helm is a little more deeper. I think that's due more to the exaggeration. But still, it's a lighter green. And it does seem like they aged her just a bit. Either way, it's the sense of, you know, she's royalty. This is what royalty looks like. Not that that's what everybody should look like. She's royalty. When you think of royalty, that's what you, in general, think of. You think of being well-groomed. You don't think of frizzled hair everywhere. Regardless of whether it's a... And this would go for males as well. If I saw a male that was like a complete slob, snot falling out his head, hair's like all everywhere and everything, I wouldn't think royalty either. That this goes for males as well. Reason number three. This all screamed because of some outrage about the Disney princesses and how they're offensive to women, which is this new stupid... Oh my god. I'm only now starting to hear about this, and it's the dumbest, stupidest thing, or at least, again, one of them that I've ever heard. And it's ridiculous that them being princesses is somehow oppressive to women, that women can't be in power and everything. I'm like, yeah. They're in power! Why are they not in power? They're a princess! They're royalty! Whether you're the queen, king, princess, or prince, you're in power! Yes, they may not have the absolute power that a king and a queen may have, but they're still in power! They're still in power! And it's not the royalty that makes them, by the way, role models. It's the things they do besides the fact that they are royalty. It's the things that they do, you know, alongside that they are royalty. You know, the greatness, you know, not the greatness, but the wonderful things that Belle does, and, you know, the fact that she reads and all that stuff, and her ability to help others, you know, besides the fact that she is a princess. It's not because she's a princess that she does these things, it's her own personality. But, you know, more adding to it, if we're going to talk, you know, what I find funny about this discussion is it's all about, you know, the princess and how they're, well, I'm sorry, let's talk about all the Disney male kings, shall we? Let's see, because I'm sure there's, because from the sounds of their play, let's start with one of the more recent ones, you know? Again, I haven't seen Braved, but Tangled, the male character, well, he was a thief, and then even in the extra where he's marrying Rapunzel, he's never given the title prince or king. And she always seems to be, like, above him in position. So, well, I guess he's out. Princess the Frog! Prince Naveen! He never becomes king in the movie. He's still Prince Naveen, so he's out. Let's see. Journey to Atlantis. Guy played by Michael J. Fox. They become king and queen at the end of it, from what I remember, or at least in the second movie. I could be wrong, but, you know, here we are there, so that's out. Let's see, trying to think, Mulan, you know, he's an army commander, he was the army commander before she came, now they're both army commanders and army generals. That's out. Hercules. Now, he's prince. He's always a prince. Because the king there is Zeus, the god. So, he's out. With Meg, and not that Meg ever considered a princess, but I consider her one in this case. You know, that's out. Throw out Hunchback of Notre Dame. You know, Esmeralda's not a princess, neither is Quasimodo, and I refuse to acknowledge that she chooses that other guy. Let's see. Pocahontas, she's the princess. The guy she sort of falls in love with, not royalty at all, so he's out. Now we've gotten to tonight, is Aladdin. No, for all three movies, he's considered Prince Ali. There's talk of him becoming Sultan, but never becomes Sultan. Always considered, at most, Prince Ali. He's a prince. Beauty and the Beast. The Beast, when he transforms, has always been considered a prince. Even when he was... Even at the beginning of the story, when they talk about how he was cruel, he was still called a prince. So he's out. Little Mermaid. Prince Eric. Never considered King Eric. Well, he's a prince, so he's out. I don't think there was really any... Well, there was Sword in the Stone, but that was King Arthur. And there was no princess in that movie whatsoever. So, one king. So we have one king. We got one king that proves the oppression here. Let's see if we can find more. Sleeping Beauty. No. Prince. He was always considered a prince. Never considered king yet. Cinderella. Prince. Always considered a prince. Sleeping Beauty. Last one, Sleeping Beauty. And absolutely, this had to be, he had to, because, no, he was always considered a prince. Wow! What a shock! All of the male main characters in these Disney royalty fairy tales are always considered princes! I guess I should be just, with the exception of one, the one about King Arthur, who becomes a king at the end of the movie, but... You know, I guess I should be more outraged. Disney is trying to tell me that I can't comprehend the absolute power that is being king. They're so horrible. If you haven't got all that's called sarcasm, and I'd like to accept this award from the Academy for my fantastic acting. Sort of, I made that a joke, that's my point. As much as we talk about how they are, this whole argument about the princesses, the males in Disney roles have also been princes. And this whole thing about princess being a form of oppression is just ridiculous and non-existent. It's true. It's an effort by people who, as I'll be talking about in just a second, or trying to gain control over people and make them feel bad about the things they like. And in this case, they're trying to make people feel bad about liking Disney because, you know, gasp, if you actually watch Disney films, you might gain, you know, what a sense of possibly the right thing is to do. You know, to be nice to people and to treat people with respect. And that would be a horrible thing for our young girls to learn. To treat people equal and to treat them with respect and to always help others and to always be kind. You know, horrible, terrible things that our kids learn. Which brings me to my final point. As I said, this is a sense of people trying to control other people. In this case, in two folds. One is these families, more importantly, these mothers. And mind you, I come at this from the aspect that the people who are in control and sort of the mothers who are in control now are more importantly, the mothers of these 6 and 7 year olds are, you know, they're children of the 60s and the 70s, which, as that sense of these people being in control, you know, the hippie generation that. You know what, with all due respect, the hippie generation I've always seen as a failed generation. You know, in general, you know, always selfish, always wanting more, 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 everything handed to them on a silver platter. You know, these are, and more importantly, in this time, these are the people that, you know, their kids can't go out and play anymore. They have to have scheduled play dates. And everything has to be good and wholesome until they want to shut their kid up. So they go and buy them Call of Duty because, you know, rather than have their daughter play, you know, or should say, watch a, you know, Disney movie where they might learn to be kind to others and everything like that, they'd rather, you know, have their son or daughter, you know, go storming around a battlefield with a machine gun. Because that makes sense. But in general, this is that they want to control every aspect of their kids' lives. And that, you know, because their kid is just another objectual manifestation of their greatness. You know, and when, because that's why they push for their kids to become doctors and all this stuff. Because, with all due respect, if they become a doctor, it's a sign of their greatness, not anything the child did or anything. And more importantly, in this case, with these women, for their daughters, you know, they want their daughters to grow up to be lawyers and these people in controlling powerful positions. And to sit there and watch a Disney movie of a princess who, you know, is about equality and being kind and everything, and that, you know, as opposed to what they want their daughters to learn, where to get ahead in life you have to walk all over everybody, you know, that's horrible for them to learn. And then it comes to the, in general, sort of the more, I guess, female opinion, which I have a problem with, which is this, again, it's the 60s and the 70s, it's second wave feminism, who in general, they don't want equality, they want control. You know, these people who are in positions of power who do these things, they want control, they want power. They want to tell people what to do, and in their general position, everything's our guy's fault. And they paint everything as some type of male gusto manifestation of control over women, instead of what it is. And this is the perfect example of this. It's an image. It's an image of marketing that they're going to put on a shirt. It means nothing. Any child that sits there and looks at that image and thinks that they, to get ahead in life, they have to be pretty.
Fuck you. Who cares?
It's ridiculous. You know what? You know what teaches women that they have to be pretty to get ahead in life? Things like American Idol or America's Top Model or The Voice or Jersey Shore or all those things, if anything, teach our kids, or especially our young girls, that they have to be pretty to get ahead in life. Things like Kim Kardashian and stuff like that, that we somehow always praise as being wonderful. And more importantly, school life, where it's, you know, to be popular in school, you have to be pretty. That has more effect. And more importantly, even more effect, is our parents. And these parents who sit their child down in front of MTV and expect their kid to be perfect and a genius. So, no, it's not this. It's, these people are, I'm talking, again, like I said, I'm talking in general. These people are making a mountain out of a molehill. Now, like I said, in general, that group that I just talked about, what I think is a majority of them, I know is not all of them. Like I said, I'm speaking in generalizations in this case. But, you know, I think for most of the people that I have a different idea, that's why I mentioned the first 3 points. Those were my first 3 points. Because really, taking it, completely ignoring the whole those controlling people, that's the aspect, more importantly, why I can't see it. And it just seems, it's something that it seems that we're blowing out of proportion. I just wish we were this outraged about something more important involving Disney. Like, you know, them sacking 10 of their Walt Disney animation artists who've been with the company for over 20 years, who did things, who draw characters like Simba and the Beast and Belle and all these characters, and the fact that Disney is seemingly abandoning their 2D hand-drawn animation style that made them famous. But no, that's not anything we can be outraged by, because, you know, the 2D hand-drawn style animation, obviously, from what I talked about, is such a horrible thing, because it impresses women. That's why we like CG, because CG shows real women. You know, too bad we couldn't be as offended about how the stockholders at Disney are destroying the legacy of Disney's 2D hand-drawn animation because they make more money off CG because it's quicker to make, as we would be about this situation. That's just an opinion I wanted to get off my chest. I apologize if there's... And I do. If there's anybody that is really offended by it, I apologize. My point is not really to offend, but to voice my very, in this case, heated and frustrated opinion. Because I am very frustrated by situations like this. I really wish we would be more offended by situations, as I said, like the sort of Disney moving away from 2D hand-drawn animation because CG is quicker to make, which really, that's all it's about. That's why CG makes more money, because it's quicker to make and then it takes to do a 2D hand-drawn animated piece. They can make 3 CG movies. That's what it's about. Plain and simple. CG is not better. If anything, hand-drawn is better. But it's about quickness and about the stockholders and them fattening their wallets. I just wish we were more offended about that than something really that feels trivial like this. That's my opinion, Pius, and while we are 30 minutes in, this is going to be a long episode. Well, let's get into synopsis, shall we? P.S., if you hear this, I might cut this out and put it in its own piece. Or probably not. I'll just... Well, I didn't expect to go 30 minutes ranting and raving about that subject. I want to apologize, folks. And that's it for this opinion piece again. I hope you at least enjoyed it in the sense of somebody giving his opinion on something that's sort of, I guess, becoming a bigger and bigger controversy that won't go away. I mean, it's on change.org and stuff like that, so, yeah. You know, it's something I really want to do in the future, is I do want to do more opinion-based pieces. It's something I've always wanted to do, because there are certain topics when they come up, you know, I just want to talk about them. And actually, in all honesty, that's something I hope we get to do more of in the future, but that's here and right there. But that's it for this special episode. Remember, if you have any comments about my opinion piece or anything, there are several ways you can contact the show, as I kind of stated already in the opinion piece, I believe, but I'll restate here. You can email at our new email address, which you can find at absolutionnetwork132@gmail.com. That's absolutionnetwork132@gmail.com. absolutionnetwork132@gmail.com. And the A and the N in Absolution Network are both capitalized, if that matters. Of course, you can always leave a comment on our Facebook page, which you can find at www.facebook.com. Search for the Absolution Network, like us, and leave us a comment there. And you can always leave us a comment on the website itself, which you can find at www.an.132productions.com. Also, you can make sure you check out all the other 132 Productions sites and products that we have, which of course includes the Otago Momentum as part of the Absolution Network. Of course, Gene and Chris and the Shaft Plus podcast that you can find at www.shaftplus.com. And of course, my other podcast, which includes Tokyo SOS, I Got This Little Podcast, that you can find at www.tokyosos.132productions.com. And of course, my comic book crazy podcast, as I blanked there for a second, which you can find at www.comicbookcrazy.132productions.com. And of course, while you're there, we have all our friends on the sidebar of the site. You know them, you love them, check them out. you know, of course, Michael Bailey and Views from the Long Box, Brad Douglas, Spider-Man Crawlspace, Steven Schleicher, Major Spoilers Podcast, Scott Gardner's 2-2 Freaks Podcast, and many others on right there on the sidebar of the site. Check them out. And that is it for this special edition of Tom Frogato. So, until my return, my Toonami generation, stay golden.
Does her. Hope you enjoyed it. This is Tom signing off, and until we meet again, you know the rest.